Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord God. We thank you for just the week that we had to be able to just set aside a day of giving thanks to you. I pray that each and every one of us would be thankful as we come in here to hear this word that Ray's prepared, Father God. Let it just be anointed. Let it touch our hearts. Let us carry it with us through this season of remembering what it is that you've done for us, Lord God, and what it is that you're doing for us, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kenny. All yours,
Ray. Amen. Matthew chapter 23, verse 25 and 26. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but the inside are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will be clean. I mean, that's pretty much as simple as you can get. First of all, there's no argument in how he feels about this. To be called a hypocrite, blind Pharisees. It says we can appear clean on the outside, but filthy in the inside. And I was actually going to bring a prop. I thought about it for a second, but I thought, no, you know what? It's going to be time where they're going to be eating, and I just don't want to mess anybody's breakfast. But I actually thought about bringing a nice cup from the house, one of the little fancy ones. It's decorated on the outside and everything. And on the outside, it would look very nice. But on the inside, I was going to have it just all filthy and dirty. But I wasn't going to show you what was inside. I was just going to let you look at the outside. And determining based on what's on the outside, would you drink what's in the inside? Based on what you see on the outside, would you drink what's in the inside? Right? And when you first probably would have looked at it, you would have said, you know what? Yeah. It's a nice looking glass. I would drink out of it. Up until I tipped it over and you saw what was inside. Then for sure you wouldn't want to drink what's in the inside. So basically, this is what it's referring to. You know, the outside, we're trying to portray one thing, but in the inside, it's a totally different story. I remember one time, I think Bob had mentioned, or we were doing a teaching, and it was, you know what the person is based on what's in their heart. And it was, you know, we were talking about teaching about a pure heart and a clean heart. And a lot of times, we can see that vividly on what's in a person's heart based on their actions or what they do. We need to come clean before God. We cannot hide anything from him. He sees all, knows all. He created us. Then in my own notes, I go like, duh. Right? He knows everything about us. He created every single one of us. So there's absolutely nothing that you can hide from him. Regardless of what you show on the outside or what you try to do, there's just no way. It is impossible to hide anything from him. Though people try. We just think that he can't see us. If I just do it on the down low, you know, if I'm not that obvious, then he might not see that. You know, and I remember one time I used to think that. When I first left the church years and years ago, I thought that. You know what? If I just keep a low profile, he won't see me. That's very... a few times. Just a few. You know, nothing to be proud of, believe me. You know, but sometimes I thought that. You know, that if I keep a low profile, and if I just don't make any waves, if I don't do anything too obvious, then he won't see me. He won't notice me. The whole time, he's seen every single thing I'm doing. There's just no way. No way. Now, on the outside, I was given the appearance that everything's okay. And in the world, a lot of times people like that. You know, and when I talk to the young people upstairs, You know, sometimes we just don't know what some of their friends are going through in school. And on the outside, they might be going to school, and it might seem like everything's okay. But in the inside, they're a mess. The world's like that. People aren't serving the Lord. I mean, they're on the outside, they might say, yeah, I'm fine, and everything's okay. You know what? But in the inside, it's a mess. Their lives are a total mess. Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses them finds mercy. He who conceals his sins. I said, I tried to. You know, I just figured that as long as I didn't show it on the outside, nobody would know what was in the inside. And the inside was a mess. My life was a total mess. As I'm sure a lot of you at one point in your lives were a mess. You know, maybe when our friends came over, our families came over, you know, oh, no, everything's fine. No, you know, the car is, you know, I got the car, I got this, I got that. But your life, you know, inside, your heart, and that's what we're getting to, is the heart. You know, the Bible says that God looks at what? The inside, not the outside. Okay, the inside, our heart is what counts. Yeah, we want to make sure that we look presentable, you know, physically. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, trying to look nice, right, Bob? Yeah. We work hard at this, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But what counts is what's in inside. Now, I like that when he says, you know, the hypocrites. Because sometimes, a lot of times, we are. You know, we try to tell people to do one thing or act a certain way when we're not. And the world is always keeping an eye on us, always, to see when we do something, because they're going to be the first ones to point the finger. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. And it's the thing is, those are the ones that say, you know what, no, I don't want to go to church, and I don't know about this, and I don't know about that. But do something, and they'll quote scriptures to you. I mean, in a heartbeat. Seriously. Do one thing, and they'll point it out like that. Wait a minute. Aren't you a Christian? You're not supposed to do that. Doesn't the Bible say you're not supposed to do this and that? Real quick, I had that happen on Thanksgiving. No. I made a comment and somebody, and honestly, it was a conversation I was having, and somebody jumped up and just started running at their mouth and had no business knowing what, you know, saying what they were talking about because they had no idea. Yet they wanted to say, well, doesn't the Bible say that? I'm like, no, it doesn't. It doesn't. You need to read your Bible. The outside was clean, but the inside was full of greed and self-indulgence. I'll break it down. Greed. Intense and selfish desire of something, especially wealth, power, and food. Intense and selfish desire for something, especially wealth, power, and food. Wealth and power go hand in hand. The wealthy want to be powerful, and the powerful want to be wealthy. What does the Bible say about greed? In Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions. It says, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. The people that, when I mention about wealth and power, they're the most greediest. Because even though they have power, they still want more power. It's just never enough. The ones that are wealthy still want to be more wealthy. They pretty much have everything, but it's still not enough. No matter what they have, it's still not enough. They have four cars, a two-car garage. It's just not enough. Seriously. I mean, I've seen that. I do a lot of traveling. I'm all over the place. And I see that. I see four or five cars in the driveway, a two-car garage. Like, it's just never enough. I've seen them where they have extravagant homes, and I think I showed that one time here, on these yachts and cars and just these homes, you know, 9, 10 rooms, 14 bathrooms, and it's two people. Seriously, I've seen that. Me and my wife were looking at a magazine one time, just flipping through it, and they had this house these people were selling. And it was basically like that, 7 or 8 bedrooms. I think it had 9 bathrooms, you know, 5-car garage. It was immense. 2 people lived in it. And, you know, it was just a little too big for them, you know, so they want to go ahead and sell it. So the wealthy and the powerful are greedy because there's just never enough. Never enough for them. No matter how powerful they are, they still want more. They still want to be above the person that's under them. And if there's somebody that's just close to them, no, they got to be above that person. They always want to be above everybody else. They're never satisfied.
Yeah, I was thinking of Babe Ruth back in the day. Someone said, "Hey, Babe, you make more money than the president." He goes, "Well, I had a better year." but, you know, that is the thing, and you see these salaries, and you ask yourself, I remember Al Kaline back in the 60s turned down a $100,000 contract because he said he didn't deserve it. I mean, those kind of men are rare, you know. You don't see that very often, but you're exactly right, you know, that we have to watch that greed, that doesn't become the controlling thing in our life, that we want the bigger, better deal, you know. And that's why Paul said, "I've learned to be content in all circumstances. I know what it means to be poor. I know what it means to have abundance." And so we as Christians, you know, that not that those things are bad, but if that is our total pursuit in life, we have the wrong priorities, and it's going to lead to a lot of trouble.
Amen. Amen.
I noticed that, you know, in my own life, and I'm speaking for myself, is like we expect things to change, you know, like the minute we start coming to church, and then the people, our loved ones, we're going to say, our family, expect us to change the minute we come into the church. But really, in all honesty, we're going to be changing for the next 80 years that we're alive. And those issues, God isn't going to be able to deal with the issues that are within our heart unless we're ready to deal with that issue. So we can, the day that I came in, I still have some issues from way back then, a lot of issues, because I haven't allowed God to minister into that area yet. And why? Because probably I'm not at the point where He needs me to be, or I need to be, even though I want a lot of change and I pray to God for all those changes, they're not going to come until we are ready for those issues to be dealt with. And you know, we do have to search our heart daily within the Word, and we have to be in church and in our Word in order for those things to fall off, because some of those things falls off just by being obedient into being in church, being into study, being into fellowship with our brothers and sister, and with our leadership who walk us through those areas of our lives when they're meant to be walked through with.
And a point too, if you have these issues, it's not like one part of your life, it's all of your life. Like Pastor Don was talking about Babe Ruth. He'd go out between doubleheaders, eat 13 Coney Islands, and drink 6 beers. And then go back for the next game, you know, and have a great game. He was a womanizer. He was never satisfied in any area of his life. He could never get enough. Nobody needs 13 hot dogs. I've tried. I can't do it.
Unless they're Dooleys.
Well, that's it.
Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. Nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. This is still on greed. Thieves, they're the greediest too. They're never satisfied. You know, they'll break into one home and then, you know, 5 minutes later they'll break into another home and they'll steal from somebody else, and they're never satisfied.
Heard the story over the weekend, lady in Detroit, her house got robbed, and she knew, she said, I got a feeling they're going to come back and try to rob me because they took a bunch of Christmas presents, and they came back the next night. You hear about that? And she had a Louisville baseball bat waiting for him. Broke the guy's leg.
There you go.
Yeah. I said, but it just shows you these thieves. They weren't content with just getting a couple presents.
Yeah.
You know, they were going to go back and, you know, help themselves to the golden egg again. And it's just, I got a kick out of that, though. She was waiting. He took off right. Yeah, you're exactly right. You think they'd go to another house and hit it, but no, that was an easy mark. But she was waiting for him.
Amen. That's what it says. You know, be on guard. Watch out. And like I said, the thieves, the drunkards, those that did it in the past.
Yes.
Were we ever happy after, you know, we're walking around, we can barely walk. And as soon as they said last call, let me get two. Right?
And a shot.
Come on, you know, Fred. I mean, seriously, those of you in the past, we could barely walk. But as soon as they said last call, let me get two more. And like you said, and a shot. Because we still want more. The drunk still wants more. And if you ask him, is he drunk? Like, me drunk? No. A drunk will never admit he's drunk. He still wants more. The greed. It's that greed that will take over his life. And he or she will never be happy. Proverbs 28, verse 25. The greedy man stir up conflict, but those who trust in the Lord will prosper. I mean, that's beautiful. If you trust in the Lord, you will prosper. The greedy man stir up conflict. Why? He's not happy. Because he wants what you have. He wants what the other person has. Just wants and wants and wants and wants. Isaiah 57:17. I was angered by their sinful greed. I punished them, and I hid my face in anger, yet they kept on their willful ways. Their sinful greed. I guarantee you, if in your life it's all about greed, you're in sin. Because everything that we have comes from God. He knows exactly what we need, when we need it, how we need it. Sometimes we want to try and push that and say, I want it now. But he knows. I've said that a bunch of times. God will always give you what you need, not what you want. Because I guarantee you, a lot of times, we can't handle what we want. We think we do. You know? But in reality, God knows exactly what you need. He always does. He never fails us. He knows exactly when you need it, how you need it. There's been times where, you know, I'm like, you know what? Oh, my gosh, you know, if I get this one check that I'm waiting for, and I have everything all planned out. That's my plans. Before I even got the check, I knew exactly what Ray wanted to do with it. But God has other plans, and he knows what I needed. And I didn't get it when I wanted it. Because God says, no, you know what? Here's when you need it. And when I got it, I was able to take care of more things, responsible things, like some of the other bills. Because if I got it when I wanted it, I probably would have spent it on some ignorant things. Things that I didn't need. Things that I just wanted. And in these days, that's going to be very easy to do with the upcoming holiday. You know, when we go to the store nowadays, oh, we want everything in the store. I can't go to Lowe's or Home Depot because I want everything in there. I can't just walk in there. That's my wife. I can't. Where are you going? Lowe's. Oh, yeah. You know what? Can you just bring lunch now? She's going to be a couple of hours. She knows that. I just can't walk in and walk back out. What's that? Golf land. Oh, that's even worse, bro. Golf land, you can't go in there for just one thing. The greedy are never truly happy because they're never satisfied. The greedy are never truly happy because they are never satisfied. Self-indulgence. Excessive or unrestrained gratification of one's own appetites, desires, or whims. Key word there. Of one's own. Remember, these we're talking about when the scripture, the first part of the scripture was, you know, they're more concerned about the outside. They're trying to portray something they were not. They're going around telling people they're one thing, and they're not. Excessive or unrestrained gratification of one's own appetites and desires. Again, it's what I want. What will satisfy me. You know, I know what's best for me. There's a lot of times we've all said that. We've all made the mistake. You know, I know what's best for me. And sometimes God will allow us to find out that we're 100% wrong. Because then when it slaps us in the face, we say, you know what? I need to repent because this was not a good idea. And he's up there going like, I told you. You didn't want to listen. You know, like with our own kids. You know, he's going to burn his hand. It's okay, honey, let him. He'll learn. He won't do that again. Right? I mean, Eddie's smiling. He goes, yeah, you did that, didn't you? you can, that's on the recording. You can get the recording and write that one down. But seriously, you know, and does that? God will sometimes do that with us. You know what? He'll let us go through certain circumstances, so that at the end, you know what? We know and we realize. And we come to the conclusion that we have to go to him. He is our answer. A good example is Luke chapter 12, verse 19, 21. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how I will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. I mean, those are some strong words, but I love it. Can't take it with you.
I was laughing, you know, he can't take it with you. There was a guy in Melville that owned a little beer and wine store back in the day, and he had a sign. This guy was greedy. He had a little sign in the store that says, if I can't take it with me, I ain't going.
But believe it or not, there's a lot of wealthy and powerful people that think that way. They actually think they can take it with them. That's what's in their heart. Again, on the outside, they can have everything. But on the inside, when it comes to that day, where are they going to go? You know, up or down. And if their heart is full of greed and self-indulgence about who they are and what they are, and it's all about him and me and me and me and me and I, in Daniel chapter 4, well, we all know the story. I've at least heard the story of Nebuchadnezzar. And his greed and self-indulgence with the comments like, "This is the great Babylon I have built. And with my power and the glory of my majesty." If you haven't read the story of Nebuchadnezzar, I encourage you to look it up. And you see everything that happens to him because of his pride. You know, his greed, his self-indulgence. If it's all about me. When we start doing that, and we don't make sure that we put God in front and recognize that he's our source, that he is our provider, and that everything that we have is because of him. When we start taking that out of the equation, we'll end up like Nebuchadnezzar. And it wasn't pretty. Read the story. It was not pretty. I never want to look like that. I shaved real quick. I read that story. I went and shaved real quick. I'm a little hairier. Let me shave. On the outside, Nebuchadnezzar maybe looked pretty cool. With all the fine clothing and jewelry and fresh manicure, pedicure, fine colognes. That part was me with the fine colognes. That's me. But in the inside, his heart was filthy. He paid the price. But then he was freed after he repented and cleaned the inside. Only then was the outside restored. It's when he came, when he realized, and he knew it, that everything that happened was because God allowed it. God was in everything. He's always in everything. And he had to confess and say, it's all God. It's all him. He was giving himself the recognition that it was because of me. Because of me, so-and-so came to the Lord. Because of me, so-and-so repented and now is living a good life. Because of me, so-and-so is living better. It's not because of you. It's never because of you. It's because of God in you. That's totally different. It's never because of what I can do. Ray can't make nobody accept Christ. Ray can't make nobody rich. I can't. No matter how hard I try, I can never do those things. But now if I give my heart to Christ and I say, you know what, use me for your honor and for your glory, God can use one of us to lead somebody into Christ. But as soon as you start saying it was because of me, Nebuchadnezzar, remember that name, Nebuchadnezzar. As soon as you start saying that, look out. Because it wasn't because of you. It was because of Christ in you. And there's a big difference in that, a huge difference in that. Five things, and I kind of just wrote these things down, that can probably help with the greed and self-indulgence. Just little five hints. And I got scriptures that follow this. So I mean, if you want to write them down, if you want to get the tape out, I'm not going to read all the scriptures because of time. Five quick things. Seek God's will. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God. Self-control. That's in Proverbs 23:4. You got to self-control. You got to control yourself. That's what it says. Look out for all kinds of greed. That's self-control. It's hard to do, but it's not impossible to do. You know why I say it's not impossible? Because if we pray and we get into the Word, the Bible says nothing that you cannot do.
And the word for that usually says be alert.
Be alert. Be alert. That's right. He tells us. He warns us. Self-denial. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. You got to deny yourself. It's not about me. It's never about me. It's about Christ in me. It's not what Ray can or cannot do. It's everything that God can do. Consideration of others. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Consider other people. You know? Sometimes you just never know what a brother or sister is going through. You know what? I'm not going to call him up. Probably a couple other sisters will call her up. Maybe a couple of the other brothers call her up. You know, what am I going to do? Generosity, Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 7 through 10. And I'll finish up with this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilt, from guilty conscience, or having our bodies washed with pure water. Having our bodies washed with Christ. Letting Christ wash us.
Bye. Amen. Thank you, Ray. Everybody give Ray a hand. Ray, who would you like to close us?
Kim.
Kim.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for Ray's message, Father God, that came straight from heaven through Ray to us, Lord God. We just give you thanks and praise for it, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you would be our first desire, Lord God. And we just give you thanks and praise for this class, Lord God. And we just thank you for the words ahead, Father God, and the worship too, Lord God. And we just thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.